Hello, my name is Sam Dunnewald, and I am the host of Dice Exploder, the Emmy-nominated podcast all about RPG design right here on the Many-Sided Network. And after years of interviews and ideation with some of the best designers in RPGs, my first print game is coming to Kickstarter. Band-Aids and Bullet Holes, a John Wick-inspired game about getting your bloody revenge. Band-Aids and Bullet Holes is a game about standing in the shadow of a skyscraper in the pouring rain, bathed in bubblegum neon and someone else's blood, staring down at the man who ruined your life all those years ago, raising the barrel of a gun and asking, "Will you pull the trigger?" Band-Aids and Bullet Holes is a one-shot capsule game box set deck builder RPG, and you can follow it right now on Kickstarter. Back Band-Aids and Bullet Holes on May 5th.
The Ballad of Heartwork is a new series from The Heart is a Dungeon. Most of the story will be whimsical in nature, with moments of fear or sadness. Please take care of yourself and check the content warnings for each episode. And thank you so much for listening.
We see the end of the story. Not our story, but the story nonetheless. We see a world empty of all sentient life and the ruin of the largest city that anyone has ever dreamed. There is a long unkept promise, there is a name yet to be read aloud, and there is you. Not a god, not a mortal, but more of an idea. More of a season than an angel, and more like a star than a monster. You are either all that is left, or you are the beginning of something new. When we turn to your page and begin to read, where do we find you in this broken world, and what do we see when we close our eyes and see you?
The doors to a massive building crack open, letting in light that hasn't gotten inside in many, many hundreds of years. In the light of the doorway, the glare subsides around the image of a young boy. Well, not a young boy. A young boy-ish, a boy made of tree, with branches for arms and legs, and tufts of leaves for hair. He's been roaming around like this for years and years, coming to places like this one to clear them out for something new. And he is just as fresh as the day he popped out of that old willow tree. Takes a look around this dusty, ashen-covered old building. The books that once lined these walls, having long since crumbled to the floor, fallen apart and rotted away. Oh, that's a lot of trash. And he happily skips off to work to start to gather up the scraps and the garbage and the bits of rotted wood from all of the shelving and everything that has gathered here, and starts to tear away at this thing bit by bit, making his seeds and planting them.
We pull back cinematically and watch you from above. This building is massive. At one point, it was the largest library that anyone had ever dreamed. But now, this house of learning stands as a tribute to what has been forgotten. For now.
Being inside is harder to control. Outside, it's easier to move on from each thing. Forgetting picks up the trash, that he compresses it into the seed, he plants it in the ground, and he moves on. He forgets what it was that he just threw away. Inside this building, though, every time he moves on, there's nothing more to move on to. The shelves are still here. The walls are still here. The vague footpaths are still here. This was a place that people came to, and it is increasingly difficult to forget that as he walks through, taking the trash, crumpling it into seeds, and planting it. He's especially bothered as he comes across something strange. A standing glass case covered in dust, of course, but when he clears it away with a little brush of his twigs, inside a book. Certainly old and eaten away at a bit, but pages and words that are still visible there, locked inside the glass. Staring at it, that ashen color of the petrified willow tree starts to come back to his skin tone. A frozen look on his face as he looks at it. I think I'll come back to this one. And he turns around, forgetting instantly that he saw it and collecting more of the garbage. And each time that he turns and sees it again, that same interaction repeats itself. He freezes. He mourns it. And he can't bear to throw it away. The seeds planted in here start to help forgetting do his work. They grow into vines that move with intention. They spread across the walls and into the tiles of the floor, pulling it away, sinking it all into the ground. The building itself starts to come down in pieces around the work that forgetting is doing. Each with more trash that he takes and puts away, more vines come out to help put the building to rest. Until finally, it is just a beautiful, blossoming, ivy-covered field with one solitary glass case containing one precious book. There's nothing else for him to look at. There's nothing else for him to do. So he stares at it for a good long while. It's a dreadful thought, he thinks. That he could just leave this one thing. This one thing that stood on its own for so long. It did such a good job. It stayed. Someone cared enough to make it. Many people cared enough to lock it up. But he knows. And I think he says this next thought aloud again. They have to start over. They can't keep it. When forgetting sees words on a page, he remembers. It's a hard thing for him to remember. It's not where he exists. But words on a page are so permanent. So when he looks at them, oh, I recognize these. A book like this is a reminder. And a reminder to forgetting is torture. He needs to overcome this book. He's gotta do it. We see him there oscillating between that frozen, ashen look, and then when the color returns to the wood of his face, he's pacing around it, trying to think of a way to accomplish what he needs to do in a way that doesn't feel so sad. And I think he has an idea. And I think he wants to leave something. After all of these years, forgetting looks the same. That is always the case. He exists in the moment in which he is and never anything more. But when he has an idea, something that sticks with him strong enough to pull him out of his ever fleeting existence, something does happen. There are, as always, the markings of the rings of the old willow tree all around the bark of Forgetting's face and body. As he stands there thinking, as he paces around it, it would be hard to notice unless you were very, very close, but just one more ring adds itself to the center of his face.
We see behind you, around you, small eyes looking out from the garden in the overgrown brush as the little birds, the vegetarian ferrets, and the blessed line of otters, all curious and trusting as they have not known danger for quite some time. The light has shifted above you, focusing upon you in a single sliver. As every witness in the library of downtown Pangaea now holds their breath and crosses their hearts.
I mean, most of the time when he is picking things up and turning them to seeds, it is a grab and a squeeze and a crush. It is very inelegant, and it is very manic the way he has been skipping around this library, crumbling the already destroyed books and turning them into something new. There is a stark contrast to the gentle way he fiddles with the little latch and opens the glass case of this book. When he reaches inside, he dips the twigs of his fingers into the pages. They sort of grow out from him, feeling that they are one and the same in some way. And instead of pulling out the book itself, instead of crushing its very pages, he pulls out all of the words. He reaches in, and when his twig fingers come back out, the words swirl around them. He takes them and crushes them into a seed itself. The book lays open and barren and ready for new words. He closes the glass cage and he plants the seed just underneath the case where it stands. All right, so this is my negative one. And devastatingly, that is going to be a 6, which with my negative one for keep is a 5. It is out of my hands. The seed, instead of getting buried like all the rest, Forgetting actually just sort of hands it to the vines, which grab it and hug it snugly into the earth.
Once you are real, you cannot become unreal again. It lasts for always. And the small sprout begins, quietly, of course. We are in a library, to rise circular in its arc as it grows upward towards the light that loves you, as if a finger is reaching for a cloud in a palace built from poetry, until it arrives at the shattered ceiling and begins to spread.
Forgetting turns away as the seed starts to grow, moving on to find the next pile of trash that needs to go, walks for a while, and stops. Have I been cleaning today? Turns and looks behind him, seeing a field of vines and this growing representation of the library before, does not recognize it. Oh, I think that can stay.
Pair of hands dig deep into the soil, surrounded by verdant green grass that all but falls away into ants, an amalgam of dark moving ants. The hands are made of ants. The being is made of ants, and it all appears as static, moving through this morning light. As it walks on these hands, it leaves nothing behind it. in its wake, a thin trail of vast, dark emptiness that snakes its way through this field. I take away, I carve. I do not put in place, but remove what is unnecessary, what I deem unnecessary. There are moments, perhaps, when I wish it was not so. I do not make mistakes as such, but perhaps a chance for things to be different. But still, my hands touch, and I am silence formed unbroken. It is no longer where I am.
How do you deem something unnecessary?
Beauty is not unsightly in this world. I do not deem beauty unnecessary. Ugliness is not unnecessary, for there should be balance between things. The ephemera between, that space that is either, neither, nor beauty nor ugliness. Transformative nor still, that space in between is what I must carve out. It must be even. When chasm moves through a space, whatever is there on the sides of what they leave behind remains. If diamond existed, then it will be unearthed and revealed. But they do not make new things except more of themselves. I would like to say I am moved by whimsy, but that is far too fanciful. I would like to say I go where I perceive I am needed, but that is not correct. I move wherever I would like to. No one necessarily desires my coming, but I come nonetheless. Who would want to see destruction rot upon them?
Our vision is border to border with this verdant and beautiful field, with a single etched out path of change as you have made your way. Chasm, if we were to become as brave as the blessed otters or curious sunshine and leaned down close to the texture of your wake, what would we find as we examine your path to now?
Like the parting of a tree when lightning has struck, there is evidence that I have been there, but there is no sight of me once I have passed. It is a space, a crack that has formed, and where I may have stopped for a moment, it deepens and goes darker, more abyssal. As I draw it into myself, and were you so sweet vegetarian ferret to look, you would look down into the darkness and find possibly no end for yourself or for me.
Does Chasm love anything, and what would happen if they were to reach the object of that love?
I am an empty, aching thing. Should there be love placed before me, I do not think it would survive. Had I loved something before, it did not survive me. All falls away in my path. I think perhaps I feel grief, this ravenous emptiness in me. But I cannot dwell on it. I must move forward, lest I sink into myself. Purpose is a funny thing to consider. But people find purpose in my wake. They try to bridge, to mend, to fix, to repair what they believe I have broken. Perhaps I give it to them just to see them do it. I would not say it brings me joy. I believe it is my place to separate and cause distance. It is the simplest action of my work. It is the entirety of my being. And should others try to amend that, it is a side effect. My hands dig into the earth as I step forward, hand over hand, never touching as it falls away behind me. I spread my arms a bit wider to encompass a small hillside that I deem unnecessary. I come upon this road. Stars alight it, leading towards the city, my destination. I see it before me. And hand before hand, I place myself down and form a crack in this road, traveling up it delicately, deeply, parting it in twain as I move towards these ashen skyscrapers. There is no abating what I leave of myself behind. There is no rest for me. I am restless in that way as the parts of me move over, tumbling and making more of itself, ceaseless in its very existence. Were I to lay down in the center of this city, my hands, restless as they are, would reach and stretch. There would be no sleep. There would be no dreaming. But I would bring the city into myself, crater, and then through into the center. It would be as if it had never been. And perhaps that is what should happen. Once I stood, I made my steps smaller, still moving, but smaller. I thought perhaps I could shape something different. Rather than just more of myself, I could create anew, and that was a mistake. All joins to me. and what I had tried to carve fell away, fell into itself, unstable by what I had left behind. Islands crumbled into the sea. I think it was unfortunate. This former bastion of civilization, I will sever it from the wilderness beyond and fold it into my embrace. I will grow, my arms stretching out and around to seal and sever. It is out of your hands. I got a 3.
Like all who stretch themselves thin to avoid going too deep, you lose control. We see a dream eclipsed by hunger as this ring begins to deepen. To cave in and to erase further and further to where the light cannot reach, as you hold to it tightly, like a joy that will dissolve the moment you let go. And we see Pangaea become something different. A chasm 100 yards wide surrounds it, not a single bridge or path to connect it to the world of Glen. Is this the first time you've chosen to hold something so close you have removed it from its own world?
No.
Hey, you! You don't look familiar. First time in this part of the city? I see that sneer on your face. Better wipe it off before I do it for you. This is home. This is the best place you could ever want to be. Whether or not this is where you meant to end up, you found yourself on a rather fortuitous street. You see that corner building down there? 3 floors up. Lamplight Investigative Services. Friends of mine, you ask. Loaded words you're throwing around this evening. Good people is what they are, though. Not a single one of them will admit to being nice. Something about duty, yada yada. A bunch of BS, if I do say so myself. Who am I? No need to worry your pretty little head about that. I'm sure my name will come up in time. But go. See for yourself. 3 floors up. Gold-gilded sign. As for Mama, don't tell him I sent you. She'll know what to do.
All doors are just windows that we can't see through. You ever think about that?
We provide our patrons with anonymity.
Hello, this is Mama Amaretta speaking.
Lamplight Investigations, a Thirsty Sword Lesbian's noir mystery. Full season available now on QueerPG.
Forgetting's leaves have all but fallen off. His bark is gray and chipped and flaked. And he walks with the branches of his feet weighed down as if by stones. Down a path, a dirt road, no longer a cul-de-sac, with the vague shape of one. There are plants, puffy clouds, and creatures around. There is the foundation of a home yet to be filled. And as he walks past each of them, he lingers. His posture curves down more and more. He remembers what all these things used to be, what they meant to people. And he sees that tree, the one that he came out of. He thinks that maybe he didn't do a good enough job. Maybe he should just crawl back inside. Maybe he should start over. If he can't get out of here, then maybe he just start again. Get rid of it all again. The first time he lapped the border, looking for a way over the chasm. Forgetting, forgot. So he laps it again. The second time, though, he felt strangely weary, aware that he had done this already. But it was hazy. So he lapped it again. The third time, he remembered. He remembered every step. And he turned around. He saw a giant stained glass tree, aware that he made it. Sad that he made it. He thought of every way to cross that chasm, but anything that crossed it just can't do that. So wearily he walked to try to find a different way, retracing his steps. A thing he's never done before.
Before we move to the eyes that watch you unseen, what is it like for forgetting to return to where they're from? What is this tree? Is it anything?
It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be anything. I shouldn't remember this tree. I shouldn't care about this tree. But he looks at it, puts a thin stick figure hand on the side of it, and misses it. And his posture sinks further.
Within one of the houses, there is an army of ants spread apart, chipping away slightly at the wood, but not encompassing it completely. The ants form They grow closer together, and as they do, inevitably, they destroy more. The front door evaporates. A trail of ants separates from itself. Grass destroyed in their wake. And a few begin to trail over your feet, forgetting. Just nipping slightly. Only three or four. You seem burdened.
Yeah. I don't want to be.
An interesting conundrum for you. But you have helped me, I think. So I will help you.
You can help me get out of here? I'm supposed to go. I have to go.
The way I would help you leave is not something I think you would want. But perhaps I am wrong. Together we can do something different, though.
Different's good. This is already pretty different. Do you know Tempest? She was gone when I woke up.
You shouldn't.
No, I shouldn't.
It has gone very wrong indeed. I look towards the youth of forgetting and towards the tree that it was created from. And as I extend myself towards the hollow of the tree, I offer the abyss. My love is zero. It's five. Out of my hands.
Perhaps you were just trying to fill this space, a space that looks like forgetting. For what else should be left in the wake of memory but the abyss? We see the shape of forgetting in this tree, filled with ants with void and hunger, all ravenous intent through love. Your love is always violent, even when it's offering a way out.
Forgetting looks at the forgetting-shaped void and turns back around to you, Chasm, and then looks past you to the world they just worked so hard for so long to rebuild. I did so much, and I was really, really proud of it. They remember the void behind them. He turns around to look at it again. Feelings like love and belief are supposed to be unnatural for forgetting. You need to know something to love it. You need to have experienced a miracle to believe in another one. And forgetting usually can't do either of those things. But right now, he can. Forgetting is going to approach the forgetting-shaped void. And just before he steps inside of it, he's going to believe that this is going to work.
Once again, dear listeners, the believe move is the only one that fully fails unless you roll a 10 or higher.
This was a crazy idea. I do have a plus one in this. Okay. That is a 10 on the die. That's an 11. Wherever I go next, the next place needs me to be ready to get to work. I can't be bogged down by hoping that this place made it, and hoping that all of the things I made are still here, and wishing that I could come back and do a better job this time. I can't be burdened with that. I have work to do. And I believe that is going to happen. I have to believe that this city will be okay. I have to believe that I will forget it.
As forgetting walks towards the forgetting-shaped hole, Chasm takes what of themselves they can back into themselves, and they feel a gnawing moment of guilt and regret, but they turn away, not seeing what happens, and they forget and move on.
We close the book. Just for now, there is still such a long ways left to go. There's still so much heart work left to attend to if we hope to one day resemble a place one could call a home. Thank you for tuning in to The Heart is a Dungeon for this episode of The Ballad of Heartwork. Let's meet our incredible guests. Forgetting, sorry for remembering you, but it's been so good to have you for these episodes. Do you have a name?
I'm Dylan. And I'm Super Dylan. If you are looking for me anywhere on the internet, my pronouns are your pronouns. And I'm a game designer and actual play performer.
And Chasm, who are you? Are you something? Do you have a name? Is it something?
I'm Ren. My pronouns are they, them. You can find me at MaskRen on the socials. I do some cosplay, and I'm also doing TTRPG performing and voice acting.
And I'm Rara. But that's enough about that.